Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, the Dola wants more touches. The Dola thinks that he can return punts. The Dola was wide open.
The Dola.
He's so hot right now.
The Dola.
People come up to me all the time and say, you should be a model.
Serve me up an order of hot piping.
Dola.
Did you ever think that maybe there's more to life than being really, really... really ridiculously good looking?
Yeah. You gotta pay now to see the moneymaker from the Dola.
He's so hot right now. They told him, don't you
ever come around here. Hi, so would you bring the Dola back? You can, Dola. I guess you can do it with Michael Bennett if Detroit. I haven't even looked at Detroit. We should probably do that and see if Detroit can actually use him, because it would be useless for Matt Patricia to try to trade for Michael Bennett if he has zero role with the Lions.
But
right?
but Amendola is the I think he fits the profile more than AJ Green, Mohamed Sanu, and Emmanuel Sanders, and all those other guys that people just get enamored by.
Plug and play.
And they go, wow, wouldn't Julio Jones be great in this offense? Yeah, of course he would. Let's get him.
How do you get DeAndre Hopkins over here?
Oh,
that'd
my
be
God.
Fun.
That'd be perfect.
Well, Antonio Brown looked good in the week he played, right? He looked terrific in the offense.
It's not realistic.
It's true.
It doesn't happen.
Every once in a while, like an Antonio Brown slips through the cracks.
It's like,
but for the most part, when we start looking at off-season, we fish in the wrong pond.
Yes.
Not the same one. I mean, Bill's not shopping there. So if it can't be that high-priced, automatic veteran difference maker that you believe that like a Sanders would be, or A.J. Green or whatever, these types of guys. So if you got to go in that next crop and you look around the league at guys at $4 or $4.5 million that are a little bit easier to fit, maybe it would be like a waste to bring in somebody else of that lower level, like a Devontae Parker, or maybe another guy that's in that range.
Well, if you're looking at
because
that
range, you don't know if that guy's going to fit. At least you know the Dole is kind of going to come in here day one and be like, all right, Tom, let's go.
No, I think a couple of those other receivers are better receivers, but you're right. Dole is plug and play, and Brady is going to pick it up. The one thing you got to worry about him is, is he? What's the attendance going to be like?
Yeah,
is he going to be? You already have that problem now, guys.
He's dealing with a chest injury.
Yes, you already have that problem now. So he's missing practices during the week. He started off the first game. He had 13 targets, and every week it's gone down. So he's got zero role right now in Detroit. Yeah. But physically, he's beaten up again.
Yeah,
and
see,
at his age, you got to be concerned.
But, okay, so think about what you just said. So you're not really going to just give away Michael Bennett for Amendola with the hope,
Bennett's
with
a
the
much
chance?
Better, much better player.
Of course.
So
Dola's the type of guy that you grab after he gets cut and nobody wants him. You say, Listen, there's six games left. We're going to prorate you at a veteran minimum because you have 10-plus years. And we're not going to give you any incentives. You're welcome. I mean, that's the way it's going to be. Those deals don't happen.
No.
So if you're going to trade him, it's Amendola plus who else? Plus a draft pick. You're not just given, it's not a one-for-one even swap at all.
So we're 2 weeks away from the trading deadline. 2 weeks today, 4 p.m., 2 weeks from today. And yet we've already seen tons of activity. So six future first-round draft picks have already been traded by NFL teams, and including the big deal yesterday in which Jalen Ramsey goes to the Rams for two first-round draft picks, and there was another one in there involved as well. Wasn't there a fifth or something like that? So it's kind of interesting when you look at that and you say, what the hell would the Rams do that and put all of that out there, because it really messes them up for the next couple years, because Ramsey could simply go to free agency. Ramsey's already talking now. By the way, he spoke on his 17 Weeks podcast. You know who produces that? LeBron James. LeBron James produces that. So he is already saying it's a big day for him, and he is looking forward to being with the Rams for years and years to come. So you got to believe there's a wink wink there, right?
Yeah.
With the agent, there's a wink wink.
So, Ben Bolin had an article today in the Globe. Here's how the Patriots could work out a deal and stay under the cap. And he uses Mohamed Sanu as an example, right? Because they're all the same names that we've been talking about. So Mohamed Sanu, right? So if Michael Lombardi is correct, here's how it would happen. He's under contract through 2020 with a $6.25 million salary this year and $6.5 million salary next year. So you'd get him for a year and a half. So with 6/17 of this season completed, Sanu is owed about $4.2 million for the rest of the year. The Patriots can fit that underneath the salary cap.
Can't,
really?
Can't fit it under
can't
the cap.
Can't fit that. Yeah, so, okay. But they could sign him to a new contract that pays him a minimum salary and the rest of the balance in the form of a signing bonus, which is prorated over the life of the contract.
A little dangerous.
I don't see that happening.
You know why it's dangerous? Because you're already loaded with dead money next year. You got four and a half with Antonio Brown. And then you have all the Brady dead
here's
money.
One. All right, so he goes into A.J. Green. I'm not even going to mess with it because that's not happening.
All right.
Tyler Eifert. That's been a name that, easy. You know, it's an easy one to do.
And he says that one makes the most sense.
It's much more cost effective. That's what Ben says. He has just $647,000 of base salary left this year, plus $2.5 million in incentives that he won't get that don't count toward the salary cap. The Patriots could add him and not have to make a corresponding move. There's a deal that's more in their wheelhouse. All right, so how do you get him? Because to me, that's doable.
That's draft picks.
Give him a 6th-round pick?
Yeah.
Here you go, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
You build your draft capital as much as possible, yeah, throw in a 6th-round pick.
He's on a 1-year deal. He's done it, and he's coming off of an injury last year. So he's trying to rehab himself to go into free agency, right? So, yeah, you give away
Draft pick. Sanders,
Cincinnati
Sanu,
doesn't want to play
around. Tyler Eifert is really the only guy that actually makes any sense.
I agree.
That's not going to handcuff you. That's not going to drag you down some crazy rabbit hole of finances. But it's probably the least likely,
yes,
least unlikely.
Yes. But the problem is that we're accustomed to seeing Belichick be active at the trading deadline, but he usually has $5, $6, $7, $8 million under the cap to play with. He's got nothing right now. We believe he has somewhere between, 2 and 3 million. That's it.
Yeah.
People are giving different figures. So it's between 2 and 3 million. That is nothing right now.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, you do wonder that in the next week or two, that, I mean, honestly, would you be shocked if he just was screaming from the rooftops about these players and if he made a trade for Eifert, didn't have to make a move for a cap at all, and then traded for a fullback on another team?
No, I would not be surprised at that.
Me neither.
It depends on what he's seeing with Harry in practice every day. Might have something to do with it.
I mean, yeah, if he's going to watch this guy, N'Keal Harry, for the next week or two in practice. And if he feels physically he's picking it up and he can make it happen, then, yeah, there's a chance that he could just stand pat with that.
But
that doesn't mean he's standing pat with other positions. I still think tight end or fullback or wide receiver or maybe even offensive line. There's areas where I feel they can't just sit back and do nothing.
So we all sat here after week 13, they lost Gordon. And we're all sitting here going, how the hell is this offense going to score? And what did they do? They decided on running the football, right? And it worked.
Can't do it anymore.
But they can't do it anymore with the personnel they have. What Lou's saying is, can you add personnel to maybe develop your running game? Because if you can run, guess what? You got a good shot against Kansas City because they're going to have trouble scoring against you, and Kansas City's biggest weakness now is trying to defend the run. They can't do it. You can run that at them. Maybe you can do that.
Well, I would ask you, I mean, if they had Devlin healthy, right, if they had another tight end that you felt better about. See, the problem is Eifert's not even a guy that really blocks.
No.
You know what I mean?
But that same point, anybody was better than what they had. I think you went from zero, which is Izzo and Lacoste, to something. Now, whatever that may be, I mean, I think Ben is 100% better than either one of those guys. Now, is he a road grader? Is he going to sit there and just destroy people? No. You know what he can do? Worst case scenario, just get in their way. Don't lose. Stalemate is a win in my book. If I'm his coach, no, a stalemate is a win.
See, I can see
he doesn't
tight end,
push
fullback.
You back. You don't push him back. You just kind of cross each other out.
I can see tight end fullback. Unless they love what Ben Watts is doing. I could see that. Because they're sitting and say, well, you need an offensive line. Well, okay. Then Isaiah Wynn's coming back. So maybe you get more depth at the offensive line. I don't know, in a small deal. Small deal for a fullback. Small deal for a tight end. And there's your cap. And they say, well, we're going to be screaming from the rooftops. Why don't you do it wide receiver? And they could say, well, I think other needs were thinner, quite frankly. You know, and not that we're excited about the depth at wide receiver, but Harry is coming back, and we'll see what he looks like. Josh Gordon, Philip Dorsett, Edelman, Myers, Hell, Gunner got in there a little bit. They might sit there and say, we got a lot of guys at wide receiver. We don't have a lot of guys. We don't have a fullback. And we don't have a lot of guys at tight end that we're comfortable with. I could see those two spots.
I think there's no hue and cry for it. There might be internally down there in Foxborough, certainly the way Brady's talking, and he's been pretty consistent about this, in constantly telling you that we're not good enough right now, and maybe the young kids are not the answer. But there's no hue and cry because they're 6-0, and as Christian said, they're disguising the faults they have on the offensive side of the ball right now. Because in the end, you look at the scoreboard, and they're putting up 30 points, right?
You know what?
One of these games, and people are looking at it and saying, what are you guys, and I'm looking at the text line right now, what are you guys talking about? What are you panicking? They're 6-0. Our team is great. No, your defense is great right now. Your defense may be the best defense in the league, and maybe down the road we'll find out historically great. But the offense right now, if you're not going to win the whole thing, it's your offense that's going to deceive you.
You want to focus on the negative.
Exactly. If your defense was middle of the road, I'd say you'd have major problems.
Oh, you're 500 team.
You're much worse than. Yeah. But there, I think that of course I think it's going to be challenging. And Ben Volen was saying earlier with Greg Hill that when they play against a better team, they'll be exposed. They've already been exposed.
Yeah, they've been exposed.
The secret's out. But their offense isn't any good.
But better teams can take advantage
of it.
Right, exactly.
Better teams, right. Better offensive teams, instead of throwing a pick after the Patriots go 3-and-out or don't change field position, they'll make you pay.
Right.
They'll make the kick. They'll make the big pass. They'll make the touchdown catch. Their coach won't screw it up.
I'm sold on the defense, though. I've been saying this every single week, and I don't care who they're playing, and I know they're playing trash here. I get this, though. I think Monday night they're playing a good football team. Not a great football team, but a good football team with a quarterback that is young but has an idea of what the hell he's doing out there. And that I don't think they've seen an awful lot of those guys so far to this point. But Nick Underhill of The Athletic, a different brand of domination, why critics of the Patriots' defense are off pace. And the critics, and we were talking about this the other day, the critics are out there sitting there going, they haven't played anybody. And I can't argue that point. They haven't played anybody. But you look at the analytics, and he's breaking it down. So what he's doing is he's taking interceptions. He's taking locking down separation of wide receivers. And he's taking it of each one of the teams they've played versus the Patriots and then versus every other team that they've played. And there's a difference. It jumps off the page at you. You sit there and say, oh, my God. They're doing it. New England's doing it much better against these crappy teams than the other teams that the crappy teams are playing. To me, my eyes just tell me when I watch it, they are lockstock in.
And our boy,
in place.
You know, Kerry Byrne, right?
Yes.
Cold Hard Football Facts.
Yes,
is that where he's at?
Yep.
And he's great with these numbers.
Who is that?
So he just sent something out basically to everybody in the media. So asshats in Boston media. Idiotically unhappy with the Patriots, despite watching basic execution of perfect football.
He's talking about us.
Yes, and he has all these numbers and ends, if you're dissatisfied with the state of the Patriots, then you should be banned from watching football.
Yeah, okay. I can confirm that.
The problem is, and I don't know all these numbers, because the last one is Relativity Index, which ranks teams relative to quality of opposition. But all these other ones
sounds
we know.
Like war.
Relative.
We all know what they're number one in scoring, a 31-point game, and defense, 8 points per game, and differential. But it's hard to ignore who they have played. You know, and Underhill did it as well. Was it, what's his first? Nick? Is it Nick Underhill?
Nick Underhill, yes.
He talked about how this defense, and he went into some numbers, and we've discussed it before, too, about, you know, what these teams that they're embarrassing, what they're like against other teams. You know, what how many interceptions against the Patriots versus interceptions versus everybody else. So he's trying to paint this picture that, you know, the teams are bad, but they're even worse when they play the Patriots. I don't think anyone's denying the Patriots have a great defense. But, I mean, you're either playing a team like New York the first time that didn't have a quarterback to get the ball to the weapons, or you're playing a team like the Giants who has maybe a quarterback, up-and-coming kid, but has no weapons to throw to, or you're playing a team in Washington that lost both their tight ends, even though I don't think they're great, and had their third-string quarterback. So it's like been a mix of just bad teams that are either missing all their offensive weapons or their first or second-string quarterbacks. You can't ignore that. I know what the numbers are. It has been extremely impressive because they haven't just beaten up on bad teams. They've destroyed them. We get that. Nobody knows what they're seeing right now. And that's the best way to put it. Nobody knows what we're watching because they have yet to go up against a team. We sat there and said, offensively, they might actually challenge this defense other than opening night against Pittsburgh. Yeah, I'll give you that.
I could be totally wrong on this one. I buy everything you just said. Those are legitimate points. It's hard to sit there and argue anything you're saying, except my eyes tell me that they are so locked in. And on every single play, that you don't see this with normal Patriot defensive teams. You don't see it with okay or good defensive teams. You see it with great teams. Even the times that they score, when Golden Tate scores, that was a great play by Jonathan Jones. There was nothing else he could do.
That was
one of those lucky plays. And when teams are scoring against them, it is basically a luck of the draw. It's not because somebody is screwing up. We had one play, that 65-yard run a couple weeks ago. That's the one play I can put and say, boy, you didn't get the edge, and then you bad tackling. I get that. I'm telling you, I'm convinced, Lou, when they start playing good teams, they're not going to be able to limit them to 5 or 6 points a game average because they're better teams. But if your offense, and this is where I think Christian is right, if your offense is good enough, they don't have to be great.
Like you're seeing the best.
Good enough.
No, I get it.
Okay?
But what I'm saying is
your defense is going to keep you in games.
Game one against Pittsburgh, I'm with you. Roethlisberger, Juju, Washington, Moncrief, okay. Connor, I'll give you. But other than that, you know, because that's what Underhill does, like locking them down as far as, you know, I don't know, our wide receivers open, you know, per attempt. And the Patriots are like number one, right? They're lockdown coverage. You know, yards after a catch, they're right there to tackle him. But I would argue that, say, you play the Jets the first time. Was Robbie Anderson open? Was Crowder open? Did they get open? And just Luke Falk didn't see it? Couldn't get him the ball? You know, are we impressed that they stopped, who's the guy, Slayton? Darius Slayton?
Yeah,
that there was good coverage on Darius Slayton or good coverage on Paul Richardson or tight coverage on, you know, these guys? You're like Devontae Parker or who's their second wide receiver? Like,
the tight end.
There's tight coverage, but you're not really playing too many skilled players.
Except I'll say this. I didn't see Robbie Anderson or anybody open for most of these plays. I watched the game the other night. Robbie Anderson was open against
Dallas.
Are you
sure he wasn't open against the Pats? Did you watch the all-22s?
Well, he's breaking down the separation.
On attempts.
Yeah, on attempts.
On attempts.
Correct.
But our guy's open, and they're not hitting him, or they're throwing it behind him.
Yeah. Oh, no,
I do think the quarterback doesn't see that second option or the third option because he's not good.
Yeah, but when you watch these games, it does certainly look like they're locking down these receivers that nobody has got separation.
Well, number one, you got the best corner in football. Sorry,
right,
Jalen.
Right.
Ramsey.
Right.
But you got the best corner in football.
Right. And he sets everything in gear. There's no question about that. That's where it starts. And
he's only gone up against one number one wide receiver in football, and that's Juju.
Right. Right, and at times, you know what they do.
He should dominate everything.
But
let's see one-on-one versus Odell.
But in times, if you have two good receivers, he'll put him on the number two receiver.
Yeah, we'll see one-on-one on Landry.
Exactly.
One-on-one on Odell.
All right, we'll get to the point. Are you buying into this defense? I'm buying into it. Lou's still a little skeptical, and he's got a legitimate.
I don't know if he's really skeptical.
What do you think he is?
So if they're not a 10, not he's a 9. I think he thinks that they're a 9.5.
Is that what you think? 9.5?
I think they're a very good defense.
9.5.
But I think it's awful, again, I mean, you know.
He's just, you're afraid.
If you're a big league pitcher and you're facing a double-A guy and you know.
He's afraid to
big
commit.
Big league hitter facing double-A rotation.
You throw a shutout every single time.
So whatever.
It's easy.
David
it's
Price
easy
throws
for you.
Shutout against Portland Sea Dogs.
Yeah.
Is he good?
Easy. Yeah, he is good.
Because my eyes tell me he dominates. Is he good?
But it's easy.
Because there's only two guys in that lineup that can burn you.
But he's not even breaking a sweat.
That might actually see the big leagues.
It's like 50% of his talent, right?
So is he pitching good?
Are you buying the defense?
100%.
I am too. 100% I'm buying.
I'll even say this. I'll say it now. This is the best defense that the Patriots have ever had.
I think you're right. I go along with that. And I think you're right, Lou. They played crap. But I think you're going to see the same type
Again,
of defense
given what I've
against
seen,
good teams.
Given the way they've played the first six weeks, Christian, I would agree with you. But I don't think it's asinine to say that we don't know if they're that good. Let's see when they actually start playing a quarterback that has weapons. That's all. And they haven't. I don't think they've done that yet.
I tell you what, the kid on Monday night.
I think Roethlisberger was hurt.
The kid on Monday night might be pretty good challenge for you, for that defense, right?
I see.
Fairly good challenge. They have a running back, good running back, a couple of good receivers. All right, 617-779-7937. Should we be skeptical of this defense? Because nationally they are. Lou's right. They're looking at the schedule. You're playing nobodies. I'm buying it. I think this defense is for real. We get to the phone calls coming up next.
Mudd Night, weeknight 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Rams. Power days fall into the new 2019 Ram Quad Cab. Visit 495ram.com.
The NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell confirms a 17-game regular season is a part of the CBA talks right now with the NFL Players Association.
Of course it is.
And player safety, player safety. Won't somebody think of the players? They're all going to die.
Goodell says they would start, still be starting the season the week after Labor Day, but will be playing longer into February, they which obviously pushed the Super Bowl back.
No, they want the Super Bowl on that Sunday before President's Day.
Which
it's
I'll be
perfect.
Fine with.
It's a holiday. Everybody can drink, and then you don't have to get up and go to work
take
on Monday.
Right into spring
right.
training.
Perfect, yeah.
Former Patriots tackle Trent Brown, now obviously a left tackle for the Oakland Raiders, has been accused of multiple acts of domestic violence against his girlfriend as a part of a lawsuit filed this week. The girlfriend accuses Brown of slapping, punching, and choking her on multiple occasions beginning back in 2018. And the girlfriend says after she threatened to leave with their child, Brown allegedly told her, quote, "I'll shoot yo ass in the blanking head before you walk out of the door."
Sounds a little
son.
Different. Sounds a little different the way Tyler expressed.
Tyler, can
cut
you
that
please,
up, Ryan.
Tyler, do that again.
Do that say again. Do that again with emphasis.
Yes.
Like, do it as an acting project.
There you
here.
Go.
Brown
right?
said, "I'll shoot yo ass in the effing head before you walk out the door with my son."
We're going to discuss this later because the big fellow over here brought this up when we started talking about Antonio Brown, and he said, "You watch." Players in are going to start using this. This whole civil lawsuit thing is going to be coming down on players, and he's right about this.
So well, this Antonio Brown like a was criminal this, lawsuit.
It isn't though.
I know
it isn't.
I know.
They filed a civil case. So what is the commission to do about this?
The Bruins have the night off before hosting the Tampa Bay Lightning tomorrow night at the TD Garden. The Celtics breaking news here, reporting from Yahoo's Chris Haynes, the Celtics have offered Jaylen Brown a 4-year, $80 million extension, and Brown is holding out for a bigger deal.
They have to do the deal by the 21st. If they don't do the deal by the 21st, then he becomes a restricted free agent. I still think we get to the trading deadline in February. If things are not going so well, that might be the guy they trade away because I think he's going to want and hold out for big
wow.
money.
You know, Glenn doesn't go in money. On an opinion this early without some real knowledge.
About it. I like to get all my basketball opinions before the season begins.
You're so cautious with your information. Yeah. He's tied in. He doesn't like anyone to hear. Didn't think it, though.
We're going to get to Jaylen Brown.
We're going to get him.
Game 4 of the ALCS rained out today. Astros and Yankees play tomorrow, and the Angels have hired a new manager. Joe Maddon comes from Chicago, going to the LA Angels, a 3-year deal.
So
I'm
Farrell
Tyler Devitt, and that is what is trending now on WEEI.
So Farrell didn't get the job?
He didn't get the job. He's back. He's back on the boat.
Back on the boat.
He's back on the boat today.
It's lobsters.
Hey, you may have money waiting.
Blue lobster.
You may have money waiting to be claimed at findmassmoney.com. All you have to do is go to findmassmoney.com. Plug in your name and your hometown. Find out instantly if you're on the list. Findmassmoney.com. It's fast. It's easy. It's free. That's findmassmoney.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, back here on OMF, Teddy Bruschi will join us in the 5 o'clock hour today. We'll get his take on this team and whether Monday night is a difficult game. I think it is. Defensively, I'm buying in 100%. Christian buying in 100%. Lou is a little bit lukewarm. He'd like a little bit more evidence. He'd like a good quarter.
Well, I'm grading now.
I like the combo. I would just like a capable quarterback.
Would that be Monday
with
night?
With a couple of offensive weapons.
Would that
you're
be
gonna,
Monday
you're
night?
Gonna you're going to have that.
I don't know. You're the king of, like, don't overreact by what you see. Don't overreact by what you see. I mean, earlier you thought the Jets, I think, sucked after, like, week 3, and they won't even be a challenge 5 weeks from now.
Well,
but
they
beat the Dallas
Cowboys. They had Luke Falk.
Well, that's what I mean. But when Donald was coming back, now all of a sudden he looked good. So now it's going to be a challenge. I would still say he's Sam Darnold. And he's a young quarterback.
Right.
And I don't think he's not in that category.
I'm not saying the Patriots are losing the game. I'm saying that he's a guy, at least if you're looking at the first five stiffs you've had, all right, because you've had five out of the six have been stiffs.
I would agree. This is probably the best.
Okay.
The takeaway,
that's what I'm saying.
Pittsburgh is obviously better.
Yeah. So you'll get a better
damage.
You'll get a better barometer as to where they are. Plus, you also have a good running back.
Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell is one of the better running backs in the league.
Yes.
So they can run, and now they can throw the football, where Luke Falk probably could not throw or did not have the balls
to throw. Best offense, you know, since Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And they're pretty good defense. We saw that the first game around.
They're okay.
They're okay. Yeah. They're okay.
I would say, and not saying that this is, like, you know, anything hard to do, but Sam Darnold is the best compliment or best he has all the best attributes out of all those quarterbacks. Like, he's got just as strong as arm of Josh Allen. He's just as mobile as anyone that they faced. He's got just as the best pocket presence, but you're right, he is still in his second year.
Yep.
He doesn't throw a lot of interceptions, but again, one game in the last, what, 4 weeks, 5 weeks?
Yeah, I still put
came off his deathbed.
But I would
mama.
Still put, so what do you think of Baker Mayfield?
Shaky. Real shaky.
But you think Darnold's better?
Well, I
think based on what Baker Mayfield gives you?
Yeah.
Outhouse or Castle? Yeah. Which one? You want to gamble on that with Baker Mayfield?
I think you feel that way because you've seen more from Baker Mayfield. And I think in time you'll feel the same way about Sam Darnold.
Well, I thought Darnold last year showed some really good signs. And I think,
as did Baker Mayfield.
Right. And, okay.
Well, I'm just saying, they're the same.
I think
they're the same. I mean, I don't know. You guys are putting Sam Darnold up on this, like, you know. They're the same. They both showed last year. I think Mayfield was great last year.
Yeah, I think
but
Donald
they,
makes
they
better
got the book
decisions.
On him a little bit, and this year he struggled for most of the time.
Right.
And I think in time you'll see the similar things from Donald. He's still a young quarterback in this league.
Unfortunately, if you're looking for a real solid test to show whether this defense is good or not, you're going to have to wait a while. Right? You're going to have to wait a while. I'm not sure where you're going to get it. If you look at Baltimore, you have a running quarterback who's throwing the ball a little bit right now. Okay? He's a little bit more well-rounded than he's been in the past. You're going to get it where? Where else are you going to get it? Cleveland? Baker Mayfield? You've already, you know, kind of poo-pooed that. I'm not sure you're going to get it with him. You're going to get it with Kansas City.
I think Mayfield's got better weapons than Darnold does.
Yes. I would agree with
and
that.
And, I mean, Chubb, Bell, okay, whatever.
I would agree
with that. They're running the ball better with Chubb.
Yep, I would agree with that.
And I would say Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry scares me a little bit more.
Okay.
I know they lost Joku.
Fair.
But they got another tight end, that kid Seals Jones. So they got better weapons than the Jets do.
Okay. Defense, legit or not? We go to John in the car. Hey, John.
Not yet.
Why not? You not ready? John, you there?
No, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I want with Christian in Ordway of smoking, because if they think this defense is, you can't say right now that this defense is for real, because as you said, Lou, the Patriots haven't played anybody yet.
Hold on, John. Sorry,
Go get him, John.
Just
right.
Okay, so I'm be clear. So you can't say this defense is for real. Okay, so if they're not for real, what are they? Even with the crappy teams that they play, where are they?
Christian, the teams that they've played have scored an average of 13 points a game, and the Patriots have held them to 8. So basically, these teams that the Patriots play average about a field goal per quarter, and the Patriots are holding them to 2 points per quarter. That's just not historic. There's no basis for this.
Tell them.
Oh, sure. But when it's all said and done, and now if you want to compare them to the Ravens of 2000,
I think they barely
gave up 1,000 yards rushing.
Yeah, I'm not ready to go there yet.
The 85 Bears, I don't know, stats-wise, I don't even know if you can compare it. They just had more of a, you know, there's the recognition that came with them. They are going to be, when it comes to turnovers, interceptions, non-offensive touchdowns from the defense, I think it's going to be record-setting. So
I hope that you're right. I really do. I hope that you're right. And I don't think that this
still got to play the Dolphins
the Jets
again.
Is going to, I don't think the game against the Jets is going to tell how good this defense is. It's going to be against three teams. It's going to be against the Texans, the Ravens, and the Chiefs. And in my opinion, these three teams are going to score 100 points. Between them, how many points do you think? If they give up
three teams, are going to average over. Are going to score 100 points
over 33 apiece?
Not even close. No, I don't think so.
Score 100 points.
I think every. I think. What did the Rams score? How many points did the Rams get?
But that was a different.
I mean, it's a Super Bowl. It was like the best offense in the NFL last year. 3 points.
Absolutely. But that's that's a different
points.
Defense.
What do you mean it's a defense?
Right.
No, this it defense, not, no, this not. Defense is better, John.
Right. Yeah, this defense is better, John. John, you're gonna get a better idea on Monday. I agree with him. You're not gonna learn, as we've been saying, until you face the heart of it. And historic, when you're trying to compare them to the Ravens or the 85 Bears, let's not get that crazy yet, because you've got to see them go through the whole schedule to do it. But I'm convinced right now that this defense is going to be, as this league goes, it will be number one, number two in the league this year. I'm
the teams
convinced
you faced have averaged 17 points. What did he say, 12?
He said 12. 17. 13. I think he said 13.
Oh, yeah, he was throwing a lot of numbers out
so
there.
So that's a lot better than.
Oh, a little bit. Said. I mean, Washington, the Jets, and the Miami are the lowest scoring teams in the league.
Per quarter.
But, you know, I mean, the Giants and the Bills are at 18, and Pittsburgh's at 20.
Yeah.
So it's just about 17.
Derek is in New Hampshire. Hey, Derek.
Hey, guys. So I was wondering your take on this. Let's say Ben is known for his pass rush and his quickness, right? Winovich, ever since he came in for the team, I mean, he's been pretty stellar. Every play he's in, he's made an impact, a difference. What if we get rid of Bennett and we move up Winovich to that first spot?
Nah, he's not a starter.
He's already ahead of him.
He's not a starter.
But it's a different position.
He's still going to play. He's a rotational substitution player. He's got a situational guy. He's blitzing off.
I understand that they put him in on those big third down plays, but I don't know if you've seen Winovich in college, those 3-4 packages where Bennett can't play, Winovich can play in those spots. I'm saying if you put Winovich in those spots where Bennett is usually in, I think we can get rid of Bennett and just rely on Winovich.
Yeah, I don't think that's an even swap, Bennett for...
Not right now.
Yeah, but in the 3-4, Bennett's playing the 3. Winovich is the 4.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, Winovich can't play alongside of Lawrence Guy and Shelton.
Well, yeah, Bennett is not a stand-up outside linebacker, which is what that guy would be in a 3-4.
Frank's in Braintree. Hey, Frank.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Frank?
I got a question for Christian.
Yo.
I think we all agree that Brady wants AB back, but what is the consensus in the locker room? Do you think that has any play in him not coming back, being a scumbag and all? So I just wanted to hear your take on it, Christian.
I think they all want him back. Yeah, I think they all want him back. And I'm curious about the whole scumbag title that he gets from everybody. And if he was such a scumbag and he was such a just a menace to society, why does Brady like every single photo? It contradicts everything that he believes in.
Trying to save him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's agreed. Right. He's a stray dog.
He's trying to heal.
He's a stray dog.
Healing process. TB12.
Yeah.
We heal. Not just the body, emotionally, physically, yeah. Spiritually.
Yeah, I think.
Physically.
I saw that story last week.
Dying.
And mainly because I think that Devin McCourty was kind of rude in answering the question, basically saying, I don't want to talk about Antonio Brown. So did people just assume that because of the attitude he was taking with the answer that he's down on Antonio Brown, doesn't want him back? And then Slater, the same thing, right? Those are the two guys people are citing of the way they answered the question, therefore they don't want him back.
Yeah,
I think if you look at your offense, and if your offense continues to struggle here, everybody is going to want him back, don't you?
They want him back now.
They want him back when they released him.
Yeah, they want him back before they heard. That's to me, that's a no-brainer.
All right, Tyler gave you the Trent Brown story, the guy that used to be here, your left tackle last year, now a member of the Oakland Raiders, and highest paid lineman in the National Football League. He's being sued for allegedly beating the hell out of his girlfriend, which is not a good thing.
Not a good look.
Not a good look, okay? But the woman did not file criminal charges against him. He only filed civil charges against him, which is very similar to the Antonio Brown thing. The commissioner today gave an update on Antonio Brown. We'll get to that and how this latest civil suit has an awful lot to do with the pending situation with Antonio Brown. It's all coming up next right here on OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage,
to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, how good is the Patriot defense? I'm buying it. I think they're really good. And I think they've played a lot of stiffs to this point. All stiffs. And you're really not getting a good read on it. Nick Underhill of The Athletic breaks it all down, talks about the pressures, talks about third down situations. I mean, 13%? That's teams completion in third down situations? Wow.
So let's see. Really impressive. I just saw this. So if you're worried about offense and what teams are going to give you the biggest threat, so here are the top offenses in as far as percentage of drives ending in offensive scores. So it could be a field goal or a touchdown. The Ravens at number one, yep, at 52.3%. The Chiefs at number two, 49.2%. The Cowboys, 41.3%.
So all on the schedule.
All on the schedule. So they're all really good at moving the football. And here are the worst. The Giants.
Played them.
The Bills.
Played them.
The Redskins.
Played them.
The Dolphins.
Played them.
And the Jets.
Dolphins are historically bad. They're historically bad. Yeah.
So when I see stuff like this, I just crack up.
But see, someone might sit there and say, yeah, that's because they played the Pats, though. Pats.
I know, but it's not just a Pat stat. It's an overall, you know, stat based on all the teams that they played. So you got so three of the teams on this list, the top teams, you're playing. So the, what is he, one, so what, so three of the top five teams you're playing. And out of the crappy teams, one, two, three, four, five.
That's why it's a legitimate debate. It really is. I mean, I'm buying into the defense, but I can understand if somebody like Lou is looking at it saying, but who have they played?
It may be one of those things. What are we going to find out? I tell you what, but doesn't this play into their hands, though? This plays into the defense's hands as far as their nobody respects
us. They don't think
us.
We can do it.
Hey, guys, look what we just did. We're kicking people's ass. This is the NFL. Don't give me any of this stuff about who's playing quarterback. They're getting paid, too. They don't believe in us, boys. That's what they're doing.
If we see failure with this team in the next 5, 6, 7 weeks, I think it's more likely you're going to see the failure on the offensive side of the ball.
To your point, too, you talk about like third down efficiency, right? They're ridiculous defensively.
13%.
Okay, well, I know you did drives with points. How about third down efficiency? The Jets, 20%. Last in football. Washington, 23%. Second last in football. Miami, 25%. Third to last in football.
Surprised they're that high.
Buffalo is actually 33. They're at 24. Pittsburgh's at 21. And the Giants are at 16. Of course, you know, if they have a starting tight end, running back, and a wide receiver, which they didn't have
against
you.
It's all legitimate. But can I give you another one? Then the Baltimore offensive numbers are deceiving as well because they haven't played anybody. So, you know, you can do it with a lot of teams. I'm buying into this defense, but it's a legitimate argument. I can't blame people who look at it, look at the schedule, and say, come on.
See, I always think that, you know, it all comes down to the matchup. So I know you can't do anything about who you play, but who are, based on how this team is built right now, who are they, what are the three best teams in the AFC do you think they're better suited to play and win against based on their personnel? Would it be the Chiefs? Would it be the Texans? Or would it be Baltimore? So they're built right now. I don't think they don't have what they had last year to beat the Chiefs. They can't run the football. They can't lean on that running game like the Colts did and like Houston did. So would they be better served playing against, I don't know, Houston? Baltimore, where you have a running quarterback?
Maybe.
Who could probably, who you know you can corral because you've done it before with that speed that you have on defense?
Maybe. Well, Kansas City, what scares you the most, as good as your defense may be, Tyreek Hill may find some space, you know, on the backside of a safety because he's just that quick. He's quicker than anybody on the planet. But you're right. If you had Devlin right now and you had
Sonny Michel, maybe you can run against Kansas City. No, they can't do
it. Right now, how do they run against Kansas City? They have to throw the ball against Kansas City. Kansas City's better against the pass than they are to run.
Well, you can probably still run on them, but you're not going to just flat out dominate them like you did last year.
No, you're not going to put 180 yards on the board like most teams are. Yeah. You're going to put 100, 120 maybe. That may not be enough. Ryan's in a car. Next up here on the EEI. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going? I was just going to make the point about how you can't really say that. I'm not ready to say that this is the best Patriots defense. And that's because we've been talking about how the offenses are so terrible right now that this they're going to have crazy stats compared to 2001 defense. And I think if you put 2001's defense in this year with this terrible offenses, they would destroy teams and vice versa.
Well, the offenses are bad in this league. I mean, the ones you've played especially. And by the way, you end the year with Cincinnati, Buffalo, and Miami. So,
so we're going to play three worst instead of playing.
And it's just, it is, the schedule is what it is. I've always said that six-game stretch, and I'm going to start with Cleveland, and we'll see. Baltimore, Philly, Kansas City, Houston, Dallas. That'll be more of who this defense really is in 2019 NFL, if you ask me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and maybe, but I don't think they're going to give up 27 points a game in that stretch. But still, 17 a game, they might give up 27 to some team, 13 to another, 20, 24. They might be in 17 to 19 range defensively in those six games against good football teams.
But if they do that,
which is still good,
they're going to be historically good.
Yeah, because of the other 10 games they play in their schedule.
Right.
I think they're only going to be historically good because their offenses are historically bad.
Yeah, but if you're doing that against the real good teams, those are the teams you're facing in the playoffs. So you got to feel really good about the defense going into the playoffs. The question now is, and I think it still is, can the offense, if you're holding a team to 13 points, can your offense put 17 on the board? Can they put 14 on the board?
Oh, I think so, with Tom Brady.
Okay. That's the question. I think if your defense can hold the playoff teams to the teens, and you brought it up, they held a prolific offense last year to 3 points in the Super Bowl, and that's all you needed. Because what did really the offense do in that
Super
Bowl?
Don't tell me that's different. Oh, that's different. No, it isn't.
It's the Super Bowl.
It's what do you mean? It's the
biggest game of them all.
Oh, either that or teams have figured out the Rams.
Well.
I mean, Goff, what did he throw for, like 100 yards last week?
Talking about they have a 32-year-old, I think he's 33 now, genius coach.
Oh, I know, but none of us believe that. So, you know, maybe it was they took the blueprint from what Detroit did to them, if you remember last year, in going into the Super Bowl. They shut them down, and the Rams' offense is just a shell of themselves compared to what you thought they were going to be or what they were last year.
And I will say this, too. Coaching still is going to play a big part of it, more so than any other sport. And if you put Belichick against any of these other teams, you're seeing it, even in the NFL so far this season. How many times you watch a game and say, what the hell are they doing right now? What is this team doing? I mean, teams do a lot of stupid things out there. They really do. And I think that's going to be a deciding factor. But I'm in on the
you should be all in.
On the defense.
You should be all in.
The offense, I'm not so much in on it. You think it's horrible.
I think they're terrible. Right now, I think they're horrendous.
See, I mean, I heard Wiggins.
Well, I mean, come on. Go look last week. That defense they played was terrible. The defense they played was terrible, and they couldn't move the ball until the end, right? They were in the game. The Giants were in the game. Finally, they grinded it out, and because some receivers made some big plays. But come on, guys. If you're struggling against one of the worst defenses in the league and you can't get out of your own way, it's the win. No, they're just not very good. They're losing one-on-one matchups. Individuals are losing those battles. Newhouse, Karras, you name it. Go right down the line. Tight ends, all of them. And then, sure, they were hurt and they were, had to stay in the same personnel, but still,
So this is a better defense they're playing on Monday night.
The question is, will they be any better? Will they be any healthier? Will Dorsett play? Will Gordon play? Will Ben Watson make a difference? Will Lacoste play? Will Burkhead play? I mean, will any of these guys be on the field? And if they are on the field, how effective are they? Then we'll find out.
See, Burkett's a guy we don't talk an awful lot about, and yet you can see that's a guy that they miss.
He's so predictable, though.
But that he's hurt all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's hurt all the time. I mean, all the time. I know those guys this afternoon, midday, they were talking about, you know, you can't judge the Patriots and their schedule because there's no good schedules, right? There's so many bad teams out there. And they're going through, like, who they thought were good. And one of them, like, stuck on me, and I had to check it out because we were talking about New Orleans. And Wiggy said New Orleans isn't, he's not ready to put them there because they haven't played anybody yet.
He's crazy.
They haven't played anybody yet. I mean, they beat Houston week one. Against the Rams, they lost Drew Brees in the middle of the game. They lost that game. Then they went to Seattle and won, and they beat Dallas. Those four games right there, they started the year off with the Texans, the Rams, at Seattle, Dallas. And then they played a Tampa team that's up and down. You know, but, I mean, those four teams.
Wiggy looked at a different schedule.
Just take you out of the discussion if they haven't played anybody.
I tell you what.
He
that's,
typed in a different schedule.
That's, what are you looking at?
See, that's
played anybody yet?
To me, that's the one team you look at right now.
I mean.
That you could see getting a lot better because Teddy Bridgewater has been okay. Okay? He's not been great.
Yeah, Brees will be back and
right.
Watch out.
Exactly. Okay? And Kamara's been kind of beaten up as well. Their defense has really been carrying them through these games. I'll tell you the other one, when you look at San Francisco, their defense has been tremendous. I know people look at Jimmy Garoppolo and they think that he's been in. Jimmy Garoppolo's been okay. Their offense has been okay. It's their defense, really, like the New England Patriots, that is carrying the 49ers right now.
Right.
So if they can start getting their offense in gear, then the 49ers are a legitimate threat in the NFC.
I agree.
I heard somebody at night actually saying he thinks Garoppolo's playing better than Tom Brady.
Who said that?
Well, maybe we should pull that up next.
Ooh, let's do that next segment. I want to find out
who
said
that. Was it one of the mystery guests?
It was a mystery guest, and he used the eye test.
Was Lucy Burge? Lucy, the mystery guest?
No, I want to hear this again.
All right, we'll do it coming up next at 617-779-7937. This portion of the program being brought to you by Arch Painting.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.